Off the ball, GAA.
It just shows that if you're not fully on it in these games, you're going to get beaten. And unfortunately for us today, I only heard that Donegal got bet. We came a cropper like Donegal, like Meath, like everybody else.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Arsenal were held to a 1-1 draw in the first leg of their Champions League semi-final away to Atletico Madrid, but were they denied a controversial late penalty? Kobbie Mainoo has signed the new deal with Manchester United, and another Premier League boss loses his job with 4 games left in the season. But first, Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta was fuming with the officials after a 1-1 draw in the first leg of their Champions League semi-final away to Atletico Madrid. Victory Jokeres and Julian Alvarez both scored penalties in the Spanish capital, but Arteta felt his team should have been awarded a second spot kick after VAR overturned a foul on Eberechi Eze late in the game.
When you have fought so hard for 9 months to be in this position, I mean, that's another goal that changed completely the course of the tie. And it cannot happen. I'm sorry. We put so much on it. So much on it. This cannot happen.
Despite all that, Arteta says his side's in a great position heading into the second leg on Tuesday night at the Emirates Stadium.
I really value what they've done because I've seen some of the best teams in the world here fall apart and concede 3 and 4. But at least it's in our hands, in front of our people, to be in that final. And in a week's time, we're going to have the opportunity to do so.
On the football show last night, Owen Sheehan, Arthur O'Dea and Owen Doyle couldn't believe the penalty decision was overturned.
Hilariously clear cut, like.
It is to me,
yeah. Talking to people here who are listening to commentary and stuff. And
that's more of a pen than last night's pen.
Yeah.
But yeah. Have a thing about left footers taking penalties. I'm not a fan.
Why is that?
More often than not, they go across themselves.
More often than not, they go...
So
why
the
wouldn't
right
footers do that?
Huh?
Why wouldn't right footers go across their body as much as
often? Left footers are technically better. You'd agree with that. That if you had a left footer, they're on everything, aren't they? Penalties, corner kicks, they take the lot, free kicks. If you're a left footer, you look technically better. So they're high in confidence. And if you're high in confidence, you'll go across yourself more. It's an irrational theory. Well, boys, a manager, no defender, and no left footer would ever take a penalty from me.
That is mad.
Simeone celebrating like he's just won the Champions League.
It's
there.
It's a huge moment in this, but obviously the HD cameras available there are actually manifesting on the VAR monitor in a way that it's not in our studio TV here, and the referee's made a more accurate decision than we could possibly make. So that is really interesting. So we won't be able to. The thing I'm most frustrated about here is that we weren't able to test the left-footed theory here on Bukayo Saka's.
Speaking of theories, the Arsenal fans aren't going to be happy after this, are they?
I would say Arsenal fans will be very unhappy with that decision. Yes,
the football fans should be.
Football fans, yeah.
That's mad. That's hilariously clear cut. Like,
it is to me.
Even talking to people here who are listening to commentary and stuff, and
that's more of a pen than last night's pen.
Yeah. He just kicked out his foot. But we would have seen the angle, don't we? So unless like he put his foot, he didn't actually touch his foot when it landed, but God almighty.
That's a pen, yeah.
Arsenal fans won't be happy.
Next up for the Gunners is a home Premier League game on Saturday night with Fulham at the Emirates. Atletico take on Valencia in La Liga on Saturday afternoon. The sides then will meet in London next Tuesday. On Wednesday, Bayern will host PSG in Munich in the second leg of their semi-final, trailing 5-4. And on the football show, the lads debated what makes the perfect game of football.
What comes to mind for you when you try and categorise a great game? Like, it's 5-4. Absurd? Has it jumped the shark as a scoreline if you're categorising it as one of the game's great games?
I know, like, goals, isn't it? You want to see, like, no one's talking about nil-nils or 1-1 draws, like, you know, it's games need goals if they're going to be up there at the best.
What's the perfect amount of goals in a game?
Oh, that's a great question.
I was happy with the 9 last night, I won't lie to you.
Mm-hmm. Would you take 10 though?
Oh yeah.
So just more.
If a score was a 5-all, deadly.
7-4 Portsmouth Reading is the greatest game ever played.
Yeah. You want to see goals, don't you? Like, so it's like, the last 20 minutes or so of the match didn't have a goal. And it was like, there will be one, there won't there? That's what you were thinking because of the way the game was going.
Do you have an automatic answer for what the greatest game of football ever played is?
No.
Mm-hmm.
What's coming to my mind here?
Do you have an automatic? I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Not last night, presumably.
No. World Cup final?
Yeah. Last World Cup final.
Yeah.
Really?
Qatar.
But as a totality, that wasn't a if I recall, I mean, I'd have to check back up. Like, but the whole that whole game wasn't amazing.
Oh, it was.
Was it from?
Oh, goals everywhere! Like it was.
But like the
game was over.
Yeah,
3-0 at half time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, is that you'd prefer that than the tit for tat?
The stakes.
You take it as a
take the, so like, the stakes. The biggest game ever.
It's the 05 Champions League final. Is that a brilliant game? It's an amazing,
yes,
remarkable scenario.
Yes, it is.
Okay, fair enough.
And it is. In my opinion,
okay,
it absolutely
okay.
is.
But you see, my point is, last night, right, for neutrals, say, and the majority of all are here neutrals, you enjoyed that from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
But like, at halftime in that game and early on in the World Cup final, you thought it was done.
Yes, and so you were wrong.
But how much were you enjoying it up to that point?
It was admiration and being in awe of what was happening in that first half.
All right.
And
we're slightly different.
I get your point though, in the sense of if you're watching boxing, you want to see the two boxers having a proper go at each other constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas last night it was like you score equaliser, you score equaliser. I was
like
constantly
that.
Yeah, yeah.
I like not knowing what's even though if you were wrong, if for that 05 thing or for that World Cup final, you wouldn't have been wrong in suggesting at the time this is done, they're gonna win this. And then Grant, what happens after is amazing. Mm. But last night, even when we were talking, like it's 5-2. We're like, that's probably it. And like 5 minutes later, it was 5-4. And like,
well, the other two go into the bracket of like the greatest comebacks ever.
Well,
last night wasn't that.
Istanbul is a greater comeback, but like it still maintains. I thought that game was dead at halftime in a World Cup final. And then you get this extraordinary plot twist. It had gone from this being a magnificent final performance from Argentina, Messi was finally going to get his hands on it, to be like, oh my God, Messi has bottled it. He's never going to win the World Cup. Oh wait, actually he hasn't. Thanks to Randall Colomwani.
Yeah.
So that for me is the greatest game I've played. The stakes are important. The context is important. And that's why last night, I think, is in the conversation for greatest game of all time, because the stakes are important. It's a Champions League semi-final. There are fewer games that are more important than it in any given season. So like if that game happened in the Premier League or in the league phase of the Champions League, I just wouldn't have it in the conversation, but because it's a Champions League semi, absolutely.
Football writer and journalist Philippe Auclair joined Owen last night and praised the footballing aspect of PSG while strongly criticising the Qatari regime that owns them.
I have absolutely no love whatsoever for the club. I mean, none. Actually, I detest that club profoundly. And if they could go bankrupt tomorrow, it would be one. I would be dancing with joy. I just separate the team from the club. The team we saw with, you know, the Neymar, Mbappé, Messi, even the Zlatan, Beckham, was in a way a perfect illustration of what the project was about, which was brash, which was a project of bullies. It's all about money. We're going to flatten you with our money, and we're going to buy these big players, and we're going to win every game. And this is not the case. This is a team which is quite young, which has got both players who've been there for a very long time, like Marquinhos, who is like the symbol of the club, and then players whom, honestly, a few years back, you would never have thought would compose the greatest midfield in Europe. So when we talk about sports washing, in this particular case, the distance between the regime and the team is such that it has absolutely zero positive impact on Qatar. It's both an extraordinary success on the pitch and an extraordinary failure of it. And even the PSG fans disconnect their team from their ownership. There are no Qatari flags in the Parc des Princes. There are no songs sung for Nasser Khelaifi. There are no people disguising themselves as fake sheikhs or whatever, you know, around the ground. Doesn't work like that. They couldn't care less, but they care an awful lot about their team. And when you see that team play like it did last night, and as it has done quite a few times over the last couple of years, you can understand why.
And if you want to listen to that in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Kobbie Mainoo has signed a new contract at Manchester United, which will keep him at the club until 2031. The 21-year-old has made 98 appearances for United. He's been a regular since Michael Carrick took charge in January. He had fallen out of favour under previous manager Ruben Amorim earlier in the season. And Mainu and Manchester United will be up against Liverpool this Sunday at Old Trafford, a 3:30 kickoff, a game you can hear live and exclusive on Off the Ball Sunday. Stephen Doyle and former Ireland international and Manchester United midfielder Darren Gibson will call the action from Old Trafford. Burnley boss Scott Parker has left the club following their relegation from the Premier League. He got promoted from the Championship last season, but they've only won 4 games this season in the league. Assistant Mike Jackson has been placed in interim charge for the last 4 matches. Steven Gerrard and Craig Bellamy are among the favourites to replace Parker this summer. Ashley Young is retiring from football at the age of 40. The winger has played 765 professional games for Watford, Aston Villa, Manchester United, Inter, Everton and Ipswich. He was also capped 39 times by England. He hasn't played since January, but his final wish is to see a Portman Road promotion party on Saturday.
It actually feels quite nice, to be honest. You know, I've been in the game for, 23 years now, but right now, the focus and the aim for me is Saturday and getting this club promoted. And that's the goal, to get to the Premier League again.
Aston Villa boss Unai Emery says his previous Europa League success counts for nothing ahead of their semi-final with Nottingham Forest tonight. He won the competition 3 times in a row with Sevilla and also won it with Villarreal. Villa go to the City Ground for the first leg in the last 4 tonight. Emery's not looking to the past for inspiration.
Completely different. And in football, everything you were doing before is maybe it's fantastic, or maybe not, but it's done. And now it's a new chapter. And I want to write a new chapter here.
However, Nottingham Forest boss Vitor Pereira admits he'd love to emulate Brian Clough by bringing European glory to the City Ground. Pereira would instantly write himself into Forest folklore if he could guide the club to the title.
If we want to put our name in the history of this club, we need to get the final. But, you know, this is, of course, is an inspiration for us. This is a big chance for us and for our supporters and for the club to reach a final. We'll do everything that we can.
The other semi-final in the Europa League tonight sees Braga host Freiburg in Portugal. In the Conference League, Irish eyes will be on Andrew Omabamadeli. He's expected to start for Strasbourg in the first leg of their semi-final clash with Rayo Vallecano in Spain. Crystal Palace boss Oliver Glasner says there's huge desire among the squad ahead of their semi-final against Shakhtar Donetsk. Palace face the Ukrainian side in Krakow before completing the 2-legged tie at Sellers Park next week.
Of course, the closer you come, the more you want it. And when you play a semi-final, it just makes sense. This is the goal. If we can achieve it, I don't know.
Swedish pair Stina Blackstenius and Smilla Holmberg both scored twice for Arsenal last night, and they kept their WSL title hopes alive. The Gunners beat bottom club Leicester 7-0. Ireland captain Katie McKay played in central defence for Arsenal, who are now 8 points behind leaders Manchester City with 2 games in hand. Leicester are now guaranteed to face a relegation playoff against the WSL2's third place side next month. Meanwhile, England captain Leah Williamson has signed a new contract with Arsenal. The defender has spent her entire senior career with the WSL club and has agreed a 2-year deal. Williamson's made more than 250 appearances in all competitions since her debut in 2014. And remember, our live League of Ireland commentaries keep coming. This Friday night, it's Bohemians against Derry City at Dalymount Park. I'll be joined in the gantry by Keith Tracy. You can hear live and exclusive commentary on Off the Ball and News Talk and the Go Loud app from 7 o'clock. On this week's LOI pod, Stephen Doyle was joined by Gareth McGlynn and Vinnie Perth. The former Dundalk manager said it's a big weekend for some under-pressure managers.
It's a big weekend for a lot of managers. I don't like talking about, I know we touched on Joey earlier on, it's the name of the game, unfortunately. Pressure comes with these roles. There's only 10 Premier Division clubs in the country. Therefore, not picking up results means you're going to be under a little bit of pressure, whether it's too early for the likes of Joey or Alan Reynolds and all of these people, or John Daly. That's the gig. We know that's what we sign up for. It's not nice. Some of their managers are losing sleep at the moment. But that's the job, unfortunately. It is difficult. So it's a huge weekend, Steve, for a lot of people. That Friday and Monday, there's a couple of them probably can't afford to lose both of them games. As much as it's sad, it's unfortunately, it's part of the game.
And that's available to listen back to for free in your OTB Football podcast feed now. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. We'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.